We'll go ahead and turn to the book of Luke, chapter 11. Luke, chapter 11. Certainly we are thankful to be here this morning. It's a good day. Close to perfect. It is certainly the good day that the Lord hath made. You know, what will make it better? The Lord come on back. We get to be with Him. Looking forward to that day. I know we've got a lot of work to do. As He time permits, we have work to do here. So let's pray that we could be up about doing His work and not so much focused on what we want as what He wants. You pray for me this morning. Luke 11, verse 9. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be open unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be open. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give a fish? Or a fish, give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? I believe everybody here, you understand this morning, we're dealing with spiritual here. Not just what I want, not the things that's on my list of to-dos. But we're talking about spiritual things here. He said He'll give the Holy Spirit, spiritual things. Now, I've looked at this many times. I've preached from it several times, even here, I know, and you've heard it yourself and read it and studied it for yourself. And He says, ask, seek, and knock. When do you do what? When do you stop asking and start seeking? When you stop seeking and start knocking? Or do you do it all at one time? As you stop and consider that, let's just take that apart and look at it just a minute. When we ask God of something, I don't find where He says just stop whenever you get ready to. We are to pray fervently. Elijah, he prayed no doubt 7 times for the rain. I believe 8 times if you count them up. He goes 7 times to see if the cloud comes. And finally, the cloud does come. But he prayed continuously. I assume, along the same lines, he prayed, you might say, repeated a prayer. Repeated that prayer time and time again. And finally, the Lord sent the rain, didn't He? So he asked and he did receive. I thought about Jesus as a time whenever he asked 3 times and the Lord settled him that it was the will of God that he go to the cross and bear our sins. And I'm thankful that the Lord was settled on that and he didn't back out. He did the will of the Father which sent him. And yet, there's times whenever I believe we're to seek. And I put it this way, if there's something on your heart, you begin to pray for it. And you begin to pray for it until the Lord shows you that maybe you need to seek something a little different. And what I mean by that, if you keep praying, I'll just use weight just for instance. Sometimes I say, Lord, please help me, I can lose some weight. And you pray, and you pray, and you pray, and you pray. And then maybe you've been praying the same thing 5 years, and Brother Byron, you don't see any results. You say, well, maybe something's wrong. Maybe it's just not God's will that I lose weight. It may be God's will that we seek a little bit on that particular subject. We begin to look. And God, if I haven't lost the weight, show me why. What is the deal? What's the hold up? And He may show you a little bit different way to pray about that. And you begin to pray, Lord, help me to get temperance under control. Help me to do things in a way that would bring You honor and glory. And I wouldn't be a castaway. And Lord, show you something along those lines. And then as you begin to seek, now you can begin knocking on the door of what it is that you're trying to address. I want to preach this morning about doors. Jesus gave us some very encouraging words for the age in which we live. We call it the Laodicean church age. And he lets us know that in our time, and I believe we see it, it's very evident that things are going to be bad. Things are even going to be different with the church. And there's going to be at least a blanket statement made about the church that she's going to be blind and naked and poor and wretched and things of that nature. Even though she feels like she's okay, she feels like she's right where she needs to be. And Brother Matt, she does not realize that there's some things about her she's blinded to. She just does not see. But he gives us some encouraging words there. He said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." You picture that just a moment. Jesus standing at the door and he's knocking. He's knocking at my heart's door. He's knocking at your heart's door. And he has a desire to come in and sup with you. A desire to come in and have sweet, close fellowship, a oneness with you. And you know, I think about the church, and this statement is true regardless of what age we would be in. And of course, I feel like we are the Laodicean church, but he said that the church, we as his people, we are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. He wants oneness with us. And so he stands at the door and he's knocking. And that is a wonderful thing for me to realize, that I can open up my heart to the Lord. And if I open up my heart to the Lord, he is going to come in with me and he is going to commune. He is going to fellowship with me. He's going to sup with me. So the Lord comes to us as his church, and she's suffering from blindness, from nakedness, poor, wretched, these things. And here he comes, he knocks. And we are the ones responsible for opening the door. Am I going to open the door? Am I going to let him in? You know, we can sit in a church service until the Lord comes back and never allow him to really come in and fellowship with us. Or we also can just open that door up fully and let him come right on in and then bless us in ways that we couldn't even imagine. That's the Lord. He's still capable of doing that, and he will do it. He promised. So he told the church, let's back up a church age. He told the church age, I believe before us, church age Philadelphia. And I know these church ages, really, when you get to study them, Brother Joe, they overlap, and there's some things we can glean for every one of us. But he told the church at Philadelphia, he said, "Behold, I sit before you." He's talking to the church as a whole there, not as individuals. He said, "I set before you an open door." And I know this. I've seen open doors in my life. I've seen where God, you know, just have a door that's open. And if you're willing to, you can go in and the Lord will let you be a blessing to someone. For the most part, though, we have, you know, our door shut. And he's waiting for us to open up the door to him. And once we have, I believe once we have, then we can be used of God. We can be used as vessels of honor. And God can do great things working through us. And you know, I think about Peter. I know I'm getting kind of scattered. I'll try to rein it all in just a minute. But I think about Peter and how he was a saved man. He was sent out to preach the word. And yet Jesus told him later on in his life, he said, "Once you're converted, then you can strengthen the brethren." What was he talking about there? Once you really open up your heart, once you really are all in, then I will be able to use you to my honor and glory fully. I'll be able to really and truly use you. So here he tells us again, and let's get back to our passage. He said, "Ask, seek, knock." How often we make a statement, "Well, we're waiting for God to open up a door." I've preached that. I believe that that's good, that we do need to be looking, that God open up a door. We don't need to squander that opportunity. But boy, we make that sound, "I'm waiting on God to open a door." If we're not careful, what we will do is we will use that as an excuse to sit back and really do nothing as far as advancing the work of God. Just sit back and, "Well, when I finally see that door open, wide open, and I know that I've got an opportunity, then I'm going to go in." The burden of my heart is this. We are here to help others. That's why God left us here. We're His people. You've heard me say this many times. We would be better off to be with the Lord, to go and be with Him. And I know we don't think like that many times, but we would. We would be better off to be with the Lord, but He left us here so that we could be the light of the world, that we could be the salt in the world, and we could have an influence on other people. And really, you know, we're in a battle for hearts. We're in a battle for souls. And He said, we need to ask. What are we asking for? We're asking for spiritual things. We're asking for that door to be open. We need to, I believe there comes a time we need to seek for the door. Where's it at? God, I've asked for an opportunity. Now maybe I haven't had my eyes open like I should. Let me see the door. And then when we see it, it might be that we need to knock on it a little bit. Need to knock on the door. You know, many times the Lord may burden our heart, and we tell ourselves, well, we're waiting for that door. And I believe this, and I'm just going to speak for myself. There's been times that fear has hindered me from approaching the door altogether. See an opportunity, and the Lord began to kind of point you in that direction, and you realize that, and yet, boy, well, when something comes up, when opportunity comes up, then I will go in and I'll be used. You know, I was at the hospital Friday. Had a man that was going to have surgery. And it turns out after 3 hours, they said, we're not going to do surgery today. Go home. And, you know, it's been timed. I've been so frustrated with stuff like that. But I tell you, I just realized the Lord put me there for a reason. Might as well make the best of it. And so I went over to Captain D's and sat down to eat. It's dinner time. And sitting there, and I'd already been praying, Lord, help me to be a blessing to somebody. And you know, I don't know. I'm not trying to make myself look like some great one, but the Lord working on my heart. And as I'm sitting there, I have prayer before I eat, and sitting there by myself, and I look, and there's a colored man. He walks over and sits down over across from me, and he bowed his head. He began to pray. And I'll tell you, he didn't just ask the blessing. You know, it wasn't one of these. He spent about 5 minutes, his head bowed, praying. I noticed he had on, looked like a hospital bracelet or something of that nature. And so the Lord began to nudge me a little bit. And I tell you, that's sometimes that can be outside my comfort level. But he began to nudge me a little bit and, you know, just go join yourself to him. I said, I don't know about that. But he kept nudging. Just go join yourself to him. And I started arguing with God. And I look, this was not an audible conversation. You have to understand, all this took place in my heart. I started arguing with the Lord that, you know, Lord, I don't know what to say to him. He's going to think I'm crazy. The Lord wouldn't let me get by with it. So I went and got me another glass of tea, and I said, I'm going to walk on out the door. Maybe I can scoot on out. The Lord wouldn't let me. So I walked up to him. I said, sir, I noticed that you weren't just asking the blessing. You were praying over here. He said, yes, sir, all the time. I said, do you know that God you're praying to? And his eyes got real big, then a smile come over his face. And Brother Byron, he evermore let me know he loved the Lord and he had a good testimony. And I tell you, that done me and him both some good. And we just had a good conversation right then and there. But I thought about it, you know, I could have looked at that and said, well, God, you didn't open my door. He didn't speak to me. He didn't kind of look my way. He never looked at me. And you know, I'm sitting there thinking, well, God, if he'll speak to me, if he'll call me over here, then I'll be fine. Sometimes you might have to knock. I cannot tell you how much of a blessing that is whenever we're willing to knock and then the Lord open that door for us and then we're able to spiritually get things accomplished the way that we need to. You know, this battle for souls, and that's what I want us to see this morning, a battle for souls. There's so many people that are lost. There's so many people that are in trouble, even godly people, church people that are hindered, they're depressed, they're hurting. And if we're not careful, we'll just say, Lord, I'm looking for a door, and we'll turn our head the other way so we don't have to see the door. Here lately, the Lord's led me to preach that we're to be Spirit-led. I'm not going against that. I'm not saying we're trying to lead the Spirit. We are to be Spirit-led, but I believe as we ask, the Lord can help us to see when there's a time to seek. And then as we begin to seek, He may show us a door that we might have to go and approach ourselves so that He can open it, so that He will open it for us. We have to be willing to be used of the Lord. Look at Acts chapter 8. All the way back, verse 25. And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in the many villages of Samaritans. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? Sometimes they may say, Yeah, I understand. They may have a good testimony. They know the Lord. Other times they may say, I have no idea. I need some help. So he said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shears, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speakest the prophet this? Of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and were baptized. And he was baptized, and when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. The Lord said, Go to Gaza. Spiritually, Philip is doing the work of the Lord. He's preaching. He's in revival, no doubt. There's souls being saved where he's at. There's a city there, mass numbers of people. And then God separates him from the pack. He separates him from the rest of those that he's with, the other disciples. And he says, I want you to go down to Gaza. And he goes down to Gaza. And as he's down there, there's not a lot in Gaza. It is desert. It's just basically a bunch of, it was a nomadic society down there, and really a dangerous place. There's probably some no trespassing signs in that area. But he goes down there and he looks across the desert out there. I don't know how far it was. You can see a good ways where he was at. And he sees a chariot. And God said, Go join yourself to that chariot. That's a little bit awkward, you know what? A little bit awkward when the Lord points you in a direction like that you might be a little bit uncomfortable with. And yet, the Lord said, that's what I want you to do. I want you to go join yourself to that chariot. And he goes there. And I don't see where he gives him an invitation or acknowledges Philip, but rather, here's the door. Philip still had to knock on it. Philip had to initiate the conversation. He didn't first get the invitation. He first had to ask. And again, this is an awkward question. Understandest thou what thou readest? Can you imagine that question being asked today to an Ethiopian? Do you understand what you're reading? You see how he might have felt insulted. He could have. He didn't, but he could have felt insulted by it. Sometimes that may be the argument that we have to deal with. Well, I don't want to go and feel silly. I don't want to feel foolish. Look, I don't have the right words to say. What I say sounds awkward. It makes no sense. But is God putting it on your heart? Is God leading you? Has He put you in that situation? Do you feel like He's dealing with your heart that you need to help this person? You need to be a blessing to Him. Do you need to knock on the door? And so He says, understandest thou what thou readest? And the man said, how can I? Let some man explain it to me. There's the door being open right there. Philip knocked on the door. God opened the door. He preached Jesus to him, and the man got saved and was baptized. You know what? That's a wonderful thing. Whenever we see somebody get saved, they have been saved from an eternal lake of fire. They don't have to go there anymore. They are sealed to the day of redemption. They could never do anything to mess up their salvation. They can do a lot to mess up their life's works. But they can't do anything to mess that part up. And it all comes whenever we're willing to look for the door and then willing to move forward and with boldness do the work of the Lord. Philip was led to Gaza, pointed to the chariot. He goes along, he asks the question, and the door's open to him. There's no way to tell a person when to knock. I'm not trying to do that this morning. This is not me telling y'all need to get busy knocking on doors. You know, you can go and you can walk door to door in every house in this place and not do any good if the Lord's not in it. We have to be led. So we ask and God shows us. He answers our prayer. However it is, He answers it. You know, He answers. If He hadn't answered in a little while, maybe we need to do more seeking. God clears some things up in our mind as to what His exact intentions are. And then we're willing to go the extra step and knock that we could see results. You know, God uses His vessels of honor. He uses those that are led by His Spirit. So often, I have found myself being carnal trying to do the will of God. And that just does not work. It is not effective in His work. Whenever we walk around and maybe we just going through the motions ourselves, but then we try to do the work of the Lord. But whenever we are led by His Spirit and we're listening to His voice, God has opportunity for us. He didn't leave us here so that we could go the rest of our life and see few opportunities to be a blessing. There's an opportunity everywhere you look. You don't have to go somewhere, some other country, unless the Lord leads it on your heart, Brother Matt. Then you better get up and go wherever He says go. But there's people all around us that are dying and going to hell. There's people, every family is affected by someone that is going through hard times, someone that's struggling, someone that is depressed, someone that's hurting, someone that spends their night in tears. And God will open up doors for us if we're willing to look for them. First, if you're here and you're not saved, if He's convicting you as a sinner, you need to trust Jesus and you need to be saved. If you are saved, but you've been poor, blind, naked, miserable, those things, then He said, repent. He gave us that opportunity. You can repent. Nothing's stopping you from that. It's not hard. We just have to be willing to open up our heart. No wonder society's teaching us so much to just harden our heart and don't let anything in the world affect it. Because we know this, based on the Word of God, if we'll open up our heart to the Lord, He'll fix whatever needs to be fixed. And then once He does, we need to be looking for those doors and be willing to walk through them whenever He allows. If not, there's souls that are going to to a lake of fire. And he said, if our gospel's hid, it's hid to them that are lost. We'll ask for something.